Wake up, everybody, no sleep day in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Hey fam, this is your girl T. Makia Zarai, affectionately known as Queen T, coming to you once again for another exciting broadcast here on Zarai Speaks with Queen T and Brother Duke Dawa Israel. So we want to welcome you to the show once again. We have an exciting show for you today. Now, this is the kind of thing we just want to do a woman thing today. We're going to have Brother Dawa sit out on this conversation. But before we get started with the conversation, I want to go ahead and do a couple of housekeeping things here and tell you about the premise behind Zarai Speaks, and that is to provide a radio show that focuses on empowering Black men and women to step up to success in their families, their spirituality, their businesses, and their communities around the world. And although our main focus is concerning the Black community, there is no doubt that all communities can benefit from this show. We plan to continue to bring to you a new flavor to radio, a forum that is designed with our listeners in mind. Excuse me. And with that being said, I want to just tell you that we love, love, love feedback here on the Zarai Speaks Talk Radio. So please go to our website at www.zaraispeaks.com and leave us your show ideas, your tips, your concerns, love mail, hate mail, whatever you want to say to us. You can go there on zaraispeaks.com and leave that with us. You can also call us at 203-ASK-ZARAI. That's 203-ASK-ZARAI. And don't forget what our motto is for our show, and that is the radio that provokes you to think as we uncover the truth that will make us free. It will not set us free, it will make us free. So we're always trying to bring you topics to uncover the truth. And we invite you, if you have something that you want to share with us on Zarai Speaks, you know, give us a call, 203-ASK-ZARAI, and leave your ideas and let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do to get you on the show. Now, today is going to be a very exciting show. I actually have two sisters that is joining me today. We have one that will be joining me a little bit later, but right now I have one on the line, and her name is Kenya from Mentor. Sister, are you there?
I am. It's so good to be on the show today.
Well, welcome back, my sister. Welcome back. You've been on several times. So I just needed some help today because we're going to talk about the BBW, Backwards Black Woman. We've been having this conversation a little while between us and a couple other sisters. And, you know, I think that everything going on, especially during our we're doing our series on relationship. And I thought that this would be, well, actually we all collectively thought that this would be a good idea to bring this type of topic here today and then just continue on with the topic that was supposed to be today, which was the mama's boy syndrome. That topic is still coming. We just postponed it to next week. Today we're going to deal with something different. So, and we also have a sister that's going to be calling in shortly. Her name is Tisha Kushite Power, another regular on the show. So we're waiting on to hear from her. But so before we even go there, let's go ahead and just give a one love to the Creator, because without the Creator, we would not be here. We would not be able to do what we do. And one love to our parents and our children and just everyone in the universe, all of those who are listening and who are waking up during this time. We want to send you a one love and a shout out. And we also want to give a one love to our Facebook friends, but we have a lot of them, don't we, Kenya?
Oh, yes, we do.
So we want to give a one love to them, too, and thank you all for tuning in and listening on our show today. Now, sister, we talk about this all the time, how we have so many issues within the black community, but we also discuss the fact that a lot of our issues come from the black woman. I know that a lot of black women are not going to agree with this, but that's okay. That's why we're doing this show. They're not going to agree with the fact that a lot of issues that are going on today is because of us. We have to get ourselves together for our men, for our children. If we don't get ourselves together, then what are they going to do? What are they going to do with themselves? So what I did was I went through and found a list of many different things, I guess I can just say taboo or many different things that people say about the black woman. I mean, I think that we get a bad rap for the most part, and I think there's a reason why we get the bad rap, but what we're trying to do here is we're trying to deal with it, and then we're going to, first of all, we're going to uncover it, then we're going to deal with it, and hopefully we can help one of you sisters out there to kind of understand that a lot of the things that are going on, we as black women, we can stop it, we can fix it, but we have to know, have the mindset to do that. What do you say, Kenya?
I absolutely agree, because, you know, when we first start talking some shows prior to this, the first thing we said, if we heal the black woman, we will heal the nation. So that means that we have to do some corrective surgery, dealing with the womb. A lot of stuff that she has been buried, she hasn't been dealing with, is, you know, generational issues. And that's one thing that, you know, I see a lot of women have done, and I've done it myself, don't want to deal with it. So when you don't want to deal with it, all you do is it begins to fester. You know, we got to go back to medical terms. You know, if you don't attend to something that has been infected, what it does, it begins to fester and begins to get worse. And then at that point, you know, you're either going to have to do amputation or you're going to have to do some serious surgery. So we're having to do some amputation because some things have got too bad right now. So we've got to cut it all the way off, and we've got to go all the way to the source so that we can start a rejuvenation process.
Mm-hmm.
So it can, if we can grow properly, because right now we are not growing properly. We're not growing right in our mentality. We're not growing right in our emotions. We're not growing right in our spirit.
Okay.
And these are very three main components we have to have in order to be balanced.
Okay. Okay. I feel that. Let's start going through some of this on the list. Because you and I were talking, and as well as Tisha, we were talking about the many different, if you want to call it issues or concerns or problems, situations, whatever you want to call it. There's so many that is going on in our community as black women. And so I want to just bring up a few of those that I have found on the, I found some of these on the internet, and then some of these we have actually talked about, and we thought we should bring it to the table of what we're doing here. But the one thing I want to start with, you know, I hear this. I hear that black women run their mouth too much.
Wow.
They don't know how to shut the hell up. I want to ask you, Kenya, what do you say about we as black women? And I'm going to say we because I'm working hard on myself. But I'm going to go ahead and throw myself in the pot with everybody else so nobody feels like I'm, you know, talking about them and not myself. But why do you think we won't shut the hell up? What's our problem?
Oh, that's real interesting.
Do you think that's our problem, one of our problems?
I do agree that is. And like you said, in some prior shows that, you know, me and you did together, that was the first thing I brought up. That was the, by doing some surveys and talking to some brothers, that's the main problem that they have with us sisters, is our mouth.
Okay.
And we have to learn how to, you know, again, it goes back to communicating. We don't know how to communicate with them, and they don't know how to communicate with us, and we become frustrated. Just think about it. When they don't understand what you're trying to say, you get frustrated. So what do? You become, you start building up, just like a volcano. You start getting the build-up because he can't get what you're saying. And so because he can't get, it makes you mad. I mean, I've done this, and it turns into an argument rather than a discussion. We have to learn what is the difference between a discussion and an argument. And so all they hear is argument. They don't hear the discussion. Because anytime you start raising your voice, and come on now, come on, Blue Edward, you know how we do. We start doing that neck, body language, and we start that finger, and we start raising our tone, and that's the turnoff for him. He don't want to hear that. He don't want to be bothered with that.
Right.
So, it's the mouth, and I think, you know, again, when it's not balanced and communicating, of course, you're going to have that kind of a situation going on. So we have to learn how to communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn. Don't raise your – you don't have to raise your voice to get your point across. And I have to say this. I got to say this because this is a main issue. You do not have to curse that man out.
Well,
so how is he going to feel like a king when you treat him like he's an inmate? Because that's how they talk to inmates. They talk down to inmates. So why would he have respect for you if you're going to degrade him? If you're going to rob him of his honor? Because your mouth can either build up a king or tear a king down. And we, as black women, we all have been guilty of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now we have the opportunity to come and correct it. And to correct it, you got to be honest. You got to look in the mirror and say, you know, I did as much damage to them as they've done to me. But mm-hmm. I'm going to be a woman enough. I'm going to be a strong black woman enough to go and say, you know what? I don't even want to say I'm sorry because, you know, as long as you keep saying you're sorry, you're going to be sorry. But I'm coming to say, you know, I was wrong in the way that I handled you, where I was trying to communicate with you. So I want the opportunity to correct it. Will you let me? Self being humble. And what that would do with that brother, okay, that would open up his eyes and it would just make him look at you in a whole different light because he's used to you coming at him like they do in jail. They raise their voice, they say anything they want to, but if you come to him with a softness, because we as women, we're supposed to be soft. We're not supposed to be looking like no man, no bodybuilder.
Right.
If he wanted a man, he would have got a man, but he would have woman. So we need to learn how to
Let me ask you, sister, let me cut y'all, but do you think we run our mouths because it's a power struggle?
I do believe it as well. Okay.
That's what I'm thinking because I know, like I said, I'm working on me. I'm working on me. But I do know that.
I can validate
that. Still in a relationship, I know a past relationship, I know that when the man would say something that I didn't like and I wanted to be right, that escalated the argument because I'm not going to shut my mouth until I'm right, until I prove my point.
That's right.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. So a lot of that, that's the main thing right there. If there's no communication, then what else can we do? I mean, we can't even talk to each other. I think we as women, and I'm not just saying it's just us. They don't know how to talk to us either. But from what I'm learning, we have to understand that they are, as Brother Dawah so eloquently put last two shows, that they are logical thinkers. You know, mainly, not just fully logical, but they're mainly logical thinkers, and we're more emotional.
Exactly.
So, you know, and I hear what you're saying. He might be saying the same thing over and over again, but we're not hearing that. We're so emotional about what's being said that we just escalate it. We just keep it going. Another issue that I think is that we have is that when the man says to you, I don't want to talk about it right now, or I don't want to deal with this right now. We have to learn to let him not talk about it, you know, because I'm guilty of this too. I'm guilty of this too. When something goes on and I say, you know, let's talk about it, and I'm told, I don't want to talk about it right now. Well, now I start thinking, okay, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why can't I help? Why doesn't he open up to me and talk to me? Because I'm here for him to talk to. So now you start thinking all these negative thoughts about what's going on in your head when he simply is just not ready to discuss what is wrong with him at that moment. And we don't give him a chance to come back later to, you know, when the time is right, I guess, to discuss that. I want to, we got so much to talk about here. I'm going to move on from that. We already know that we as black women, we got a problem shutting our damn mouth. Bottom line, period. Okay. You know, and like I said, I'm working on me, so I'll be the first partaker of that. What about black women make the black man feel unappreciative? Unappreciated. I do that in seconds. Unappreciated, unwarranted, and irresponsible, and regressive. This is what I found on the internet. Somebody was saying that the black woman makes the black man feel underappreciated. There you go. Underappreciated. What do you say? Do you feel that we do have that problem that we don't make him feel appreciated? First of all, we already established that we don't know how to shut our damn mouth. Now we're not making him feel appreciated either?
I agree and I disagree because that's on both ends. You know, again, if you have someone who talks at you and not talks to you, then, of course, they're not going to feel like you appreciate them. They're not going to feel like you want them around. They're not going to feel like you have any respect for them. And most of all, listen to this, he is going to feel like you're treating him like a child.
Okay, okay.
And that's going to be a problem because he knows he's a grown man, but the way that you're handling him, if you don't appreciate what he does, and, you know, we have to learn as black women, there's nothing wrong with wanting nice things in life, but materialistic things are not everything. For me, it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to make me smile. It doesn't take a lot to make me feel like a queen. I don't have to have material things because I understand that is temporary. But what does make a man feel appreciated? A lot of women don't know because they don't take out the time to get to know him. You know, and I see this a lot, and I have to deal with a lot of people like this. They get to know him more physically, physical contact with sexual interaction, rather than trying to understand his mentality, understand how he thinks. If you get into his mind, you begin to understand him. If you begin to get into his mind, you'll know how to speak to him. And that's the problem. We're not trying to get into his mind. We're not trying to find out what are his dreams, what is his vision, what can we do to help bring that out? Because see, that's the problem. First of all, you got to understand what is the power that a black woman possesses. Mm-hmm. There are so many strengths that we have. We can speak to a black man where no other female can, no other race, because we can identify with his struggles. Yeah, identify where he came from.
That's right.
And we can speak to those parts of him. Now, the problem is when we speak and we're not speaking life, but we're speaking death, we're telling him everything that he isn't. He's already heard that his whole life. So we've got to come in and we've got to reverse what we've been speaking out of our mouth. Speaking has a lot to do the way a man will interact with you, how he will look at you.
Mm-hmm.
If you begin to speak to what God has put in him, that will change his whole outlook on life, on you. You know, he'll feel like he can be the president. We have that power within our tongue. It all goes back to our mouth to pull out that great treasure that's already in him that's been locked up by negative words. We do. I can see how they would feel unappreciated. You know, because if you constantly talking at them, not to them, not speaking light to them, because they're speaking death, they hear that every day in the street. They hear, you know, the police authorities, you know, calling them niggas and saying all kind of stuff. You know, people dealing with the spirit of racism and making them feel like they're nothing. In the school system, when they were boys, you know, and the teacher telling them you ain't never going back to nothing. It's time out for that. So what we have to do, we got to learn not to speak what they already heard, but speak something they haven't heard that they need to hear.
Right. Well, okay, no, so I thought you were finished.
Go ahead.
And I told you, you know, of course I agree with you. We talk about this all the time, so of course I agree with that. I've been in public where I hear women who talk to their husbands or their boyfriends or whatever, even their sons, talk to them like they're little children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they belittle him in front of everybody. Now, I learned this from, I learned this from the Mexican community when I worked in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that they, in particular, they don't like it when their women talk down to them, period. It does something to them. If you can just see their reaction when a woman talks to them sideways, especially in front of people, they lose it. I've witnessed it. I've had them tell me, you know, when I worked at the prison, I would, you know, come and give them an order or whatever. That's my job. But one of them pulled me to the side. He said, "Please don't do that in front of other people. Don't talk like that in front of other people." And I didn't understand what he meant, but that taught me that. He's telling me, you know, you can still tell me what you got to tell me, but the way you said it is what's making me upset to where I don't hear you. So, I always learn little things like that as I go along. Now, we're talking about the backwards woman. And the reason why we're saying that the backwards black woman, because a lot of us are backwards. We don't realize, first of all, everything that we've been doing over the centuries apparently is not working. Is not working because our men are leaving us in droves. Why are they leaving us? Do we sit back and figure out or try to even think why are they leaving us? No, we don't. We just want to know the fact that, okay, they're leaving us, to hell with them, we'll just go with the other color, or we'll just go with another woman, you know, to hell with them. But we don't take the opportunity or the time to sit back and understand, at least try to understand why are they leaving us. That's the whole syndrome of a married couple, you know. The husband say it's her fault, and the wife say it's his fault. And everybody's fighting because they're blaming each other about why they're in that predicament. And so we're in this predicament as black people because we're constantly blaming each other about, you know, who's at fault. My main concern is, yeah, I know that the brother, you know, he got issues. I know he got issues. You know he got issues. He's been through a lot of things, and so have we. But even with that being said, we still have to find a way to do this thing together or we're just going to be extinct. We can no longer go through life and just say to hell with him or to hell with her. We got to find out, this balance and find out what it is that's constantly separating us. We have been separated from our black men, and that's not cool. Now, again, I know that the brother got a lot of issues going on, and so do we. What we're trying to do here, listeners, is that we're just dealing with a black woman, and it's going to piss some people off, but you're going to have to be pissed off. Because the truth of the matter is, I know we have an issue. We roll our necks, our heads, we pop our lips, you know. we really degrade the black man to a certain extent, especially if he, in our books, if he ain't smart enough. He don't make enough money. He ain't driving the right car. You know, he ain't talking the right talk. Whatever, we say all different kinds of reasons to put him down, not understanding that we are putting them down. So So there's a few things that I found on the internet that the men are complaining about. And so instead of us, you know, bringing up these issues that they're complaining about and trying to dissect them, we say, well, the hell with them. For instance, like the one I saw here where they were saying that they didn't like women who, I think one of y'all brought this up too, but I saw it on the internet. So they don't like women who don't clean up.
Mm-hmm.
We as women, you know, I put it like this. Let me put it like this. The black man is he rests better when he comes across a woman that is her cleaning. She's clean. What I mean by that is that, you know, your house clean. I mean, your body is clean. Let's go there. Your body is clean. Your house is clean. I ain't going to talk about the car too much because I got a few issues with cleaning the car. But but there's things that they don't like that we do, and we act like, oh, well, you know, oh, I'm a, this is what they say, oh, well, nigga, you either get with it or you get, move on. There's things we have to do to change this about us. Mm-hmm. If they're telling, you know what, this one thing, and I'm talking all over the place because I have so much to say, but I want to say this. One big issue I think we have is that we do not listen to what the man is telling us. They tell us one thing, but in our mind we process it and say, well, he's just saying that right now, but he don't really mean that. I mean, have you, because you've been doing a lot of counseling, have you experienced that with the people that you counsel?
He would say,
he doesn't listen to me. He's really saying she ain't saying shit.
Yes, you're right. I actually have. As a matter of fact, she feels, you know, the people I have counseled that, no, he don't listen to me. But he's saying, like you basically said, she really not saying anything that I want to hear. When she says something I want to hear, and really that's going to edify me and build me up, then I'd be open to hear what she's saying. But right now, all they hear, you know, is that Charlie Brown, that blah, 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 blah. That's all they hear. And we have to understand that, and I learned this, men process differently than when women process in their thinking mode. You know, I was dating this one guy, and me and him, we would have a talk. And then I said, okay, well, what are your thoughts? I want to know what your thoughts are. Well, he didn't have no thoughts. He was like, I'll let you know. So he wouldn't react to me, but he would always say, I'll respond. And so I'll be upset because I'm like, what was the need of me even talking to you if you ain't going to get no feedback? See,
right,
he
right.
wanted time to process it, to think about it. You know, we as women, we already got it in our mind what we're going to say, and we already got in our mind what we want to hear. And then when we don't hear it, then guess how we at? We start throwing a tantrum. And who throws a tantrum? A child.
Right.
So you know, again, you go back to the communicating. And, you know, and the man, he throws a tantrum too because he don't get his way. It's the same way. But we have to understand. I think when we get this in our head that the man does not think like us. He's not supposed to. He's a man.
Right.
They deal more with reasoning and logic. Women, now this is what I do know. We are emotional. But guess what? You can control that. You can control not being so emotional when you have a conversation with your man or with a man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be so emotional that you can't even hear what he really said to you.
Right, right, right.
So we got to get this balance thing together.
That is so true. What I do is I just go into meditating mode. You know, if I feel like the conversation is not going like it's supposed to, I'll just shut down and meditate. I mean, because a lot of times, you know, They just want you to listen to them. They want to rest their mind with you. They just want you to listen to them. They're not asking you to, you know, and we have this really bad. You know, they'll come home and say, you know, honey, so-and-so at the job, this so-and-so. Well, as women, we ready to fight. You don't mess with my man and my children. You don't mess with my business. I'm ready to cut somebody. What you mean? She did what? She said what? We be on the scene. But all they really want is to say, hey, baby, I'm handling it. I just wanted to tell you about it. But we get so emotional about it, we take it to another whole level. I was trying to hold off on to bringing up this next topic. I was waiting on Tisha, but I think we need to go ahead and move on and go ahead and address it. And maybe we'll revisit it if she does have the time to call in. But the part about, we were talking earlier about how a lot of black women, I'm going to say a lot of them because I know quite a few who does this. And when I say it, you probably say, yeah, I know some too. So we're going to jump over to the next topic that I want to talk about, and that is black women using the children as pawns.
Oh, wow.
Against the black man. We have to, and I'm going to open this up, and you're going to come in and finish it on up. There's so much stuff going on right now between the families. You know, mm-hmm. I had experience with someone recently who had to go to court to get custody of their child. It's a bad situation when we as black women, you know, it's bad enough that they're not in a home with us. But when you got a black man who wants to be a part of the child's life, that's the key word. He wants to be a part of the child's life. It is totally unacceptable. It's really a sinful idea to not allow him part of the child's life because he doesn't want you no more. He don't want your black ass no more. So now you want to be upset and use everything you can against him. You don't have anything really to use against him but the child because he ain't already said, I don't want you no more. You know, you my baby's mama. I don't want to deal with you. I got somebody else. But now you want to say, well, what can I do to hurt him? And the only thing I have tangible to hurt him is a child. I was also researching something else that I ran across, but they were saying how in Africa, the children are considered the wealth. That's why they have so many of them. The more children you have, the wealthier you are. You know, they do so many things as a unit to get things done. And so here in America, We're looking at children as emotional wealth to me, because if I can control you by your child, I'm finding this out as the more I listen to women, mm-hmm. I'm finding this out when they say, well, you know, he wasn't around for my baby, and I have to raise my baby by myself. You almost want to ask, what did you do? What did you do to sabotage the relationship between him and his child? Not saying that all women are like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying from the people I've seen. So I don't want to hear no mess or no feedback about how dare you, because I don't even know you. Before you give me the feedback, I'm just telling you from the women that I have ran across and have seen over my 40-plus years life. I've seen it. I've seen where the women have totally used the baby against the man and tell him, Negro, you ain't going to see our baby. This is how you're going to do me. You don't need to see your child. Well, he has two choices. Either he can go and spend a whole lot of money to try to go to court to get legal rights to see his child, which that's unacceptable too. Why we have to go into the court system in order to make them let us work this thing out for our child? That's another show. He either can do that or he can leave your ass alone and go about his business. Now, most of the time, these men just leave us alone and go about their business. And so what do the women do? Put into their child's mind, hey, your daddy didn't care nothing about you. He ain't want you. He walked off and left us. He walked off and left us. So that's one of my pet peeves is, you know, we need to work hard as women, as black women, we need to do everything we have to do to keep this structure together. And punishing the man by not letting him see his children. You know, I did that one time, Kenya. I'm going to be honest with you, because you know when you don't tell the truth, Negroes come out the woodwork and take your business for you. I did mm-hmm. that one time with my two oldest children, their dad, when we got into it. And he said, I'm not going to give you no more money. And I said, well, I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to take you to court. And I told him he couldn't see his kids. Hello? I told him he could not see his kids until he started paying me back, you know, giving me my child support back. But I never took him to court. I always threatened him because my whole thing was, what can I do to work it out with him so we don't have to go sit in front of a judge to have a white man tell us what we can and cannot do with our children. That is just totally unacceptable. But I've done that. I didn't go to court, but I made that threat. So I'm not saying I didn't do that either. I made that threat. But the bottom line is I had to snap out of it because he was already a very strong instrumental part in their lives up until this point that I'm talking about. I just got mad with him. He got mad with me, and now I'm telling him, you're not going to see the kids. That's our problem. We want to use the kids as pawns. Okay, then go, Kenya.
Well, first of all, I don't agree with it at all because your children were not brought into this world for that, to be a pawn in the chess game. And
right.
We as mothers, we need to do better because if you want to go back even deeper with that, that was what they did with Willie Lynch, basically. You know, if you don't do what I tell you, then your child is going to suffer for what you did. And
okay.
We have to go back and we got to reverse everything that has happened in past history and start a new era. That's what we have to do. And the women are being vindicated at this point. I know many people who are in this situation. Some of our friends actually gone to court, and the women, you know, the woman lied and said that her daughter was touched by the father. But it wasn't that. What happened, we got past that. The mother wants the baby's father because he's married now. And he's
okay.
happy, and he's moving on. And, you know, if this is the psychological error right here. You can tell something's wrong. If someone touched your child who's supposed to be the father, wouldn't you not want your child to be around them? If you're in a court case, why would
mm-hmm.
you call and say, well, you can come and see her? Why would you send pictures of you and the baby when they were little and now a present picture of you today and the baby?
Mm-hmm.
That's, and you're in a court case. And you're saying that he touched both of your daughter. That doesn't make any sense. That right there is exposing the real motive of you going to court in the first place because you can't control him. Now, I can say personally, I did keep my children away from their father for a time. I prayed about it before I did it. And the reason I did that was because every time that they would go over there, they would not get any kind of interaction and communication. So when they came back, they would be just angry. And they would go to school, especially my son. My daughter, that went a different way. But my son would go to school, and my son got in all kind of trouble. It was not a time that did not happen when he went over there that I had to come. I would have to go and put out the fires that had been set. And when I started
okay.
seeing why he was acting that way, and it was to the root of his father not being there, and any time we would have, you know, a meeting at school, and they would ask him, you know, what was going on without him even seeing his daddy's name would come up all the time in every conference we had. And that was the root. And so for me, I had to do what was best for my son and my daughter.
Okay?
Because that was not helping him to grow healthy, emotional, spiritually, or physically. Because at some point, he began to get stressed. My son began to start having gray hair while he was in elementary school. His eyebrows began to gray. That's not normal in my family. But it came from stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do what was best. And then you have some people, you know, like I said, just vindictive. The women just vindictive because they can't have their way. The man don't want me anymore. And like you were saying, you left us. No, he didn't leave us. He left.
He left you.
You. He left you, and he wants to include the child in the future. And women, if you have the father of your child that wants to be there, that wants and gives support, you are wrong. I'm telling you, you are wrong to deprive him of being in that child's life or the children's life. Because in the long run, you know who's going to suffer. It's not you that's suffering. It's the child that's suffering. Because it's a part of that child that needs that father so they can develop, especially little girls. Little girls are affirmed by that father. They're told that they're beautiful before any man comes into their life.
Mm-hmm.
They learn how to be treated when their father is present.
Right.
That's why we have so many women who are messed up because the father is absent in the home. And then they get in these wrong relationships and they get an abusive relationship.
A lot of times we don't agree with, I'm not saying if your man is abusing the child, beating them up and sexually, and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of times that, like we were saying, the man doesn't want the woman. And so we put, I'm not saying this is what I do, but this is what a lot of women who I know do. They put things into the child's mind. They say negative things about the dad, and so by the time the dad comes around, the child looking at him crazy as hell, but, and he's wondering, what's wrong with you? I'm your daddy. Well, the point is that the mother has put these things into her head. Even if you and him did not get along, even if he did some things to you that's unacceptable, you have to look at his situation with his children. Yeah, he did them to you, but if he doing them to his children, that's a whole different breed right there. And I want to ask quickly, Tisha, are you on? Okay, I wanted to see if she was on yet. That's a whole nother thing. We have to stop telling our children negative things about the man. Not only are we damaging their mindset when it comes to their parents, but we're damaging her mindset when it comes to a black man. Because now she has in her mind, my mom told me all these things about my dad, so if my dad ain't shit, that means other men ain't shit either.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. And so, there's a lot of things that we have to do. There's a lot of things that we're doing that is totally, totally backwards. And that is the main thing, because our children are out here running around. They don't have the love of their father, and they're blaming their dad. Again, I'm not talking about all people.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the ones who are blaming their dad. And they're blaming their dad because it's because of the mama. It's because of the mama and what she's doing and what she's saying. I believe that I believe that the child should be with the mother for a while. But when it's time for that child to have an upbringing, then the daddy needs to step in and I'm not saying that he can't do her from birth or do him or her from birth. I'm saying that there's a bonding period that the child and the mother have to complete before he step in and do his thing. There's a bonding period that takes place. It took place in the womb, and it still takes place once the baby get here. But that's, we don't waste a whole lot of time talking about children and all that stuff. That was just another one of my pet peeves, is that the fact that we use children as pawns, and we need to stop doing that. Because when you use a child as a pawn, that child grows up, and that child will use his or her child as a pawn. It's an ongoing situation that we have going on here. I wish that we could have more time here and try to get Tisha in, because there's a few things that I wanted her to kind of cover with this. But my question is, it's not really a question, Kenya. I guess it's a statement. Statement/question. When are we going to wake the hell up and realize that, again, I say this all the time, and, of course, a lot of people don't agree with me, but that's okay. That's why I'm here. Because I don't think like everybody else, and neither do you. But we know who we are as black women. Well, you and I know who we are. Hopefully a lot of people listening know who they are, too. But I just speak for you and I because, it's you and I talking. But we know who we are as black women, but we have to always remember that there is a power that only we possess. Nobody on this whole entire earth possesses that certain power. Does that make us better than everybody? You know, you draw your own conclusions. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is there's a power that we possess. And I say this all the time. If we use that power the wrong way towards our men, towards our children, towards the animals, the nature, whatever, wherever, however we use it, if we use it the wrong way, it is no longer power. It is now considered a form of the so-called witchcraft. You're now switching things around. And also say, because, you know, we're always talking about rebirthing a nation. We're the ones who birthed the nation in the first place. Every black man and every black woman came through a black body. Every last one of them came through a black parent. So we were a nation before. We came through our parents. My sons came through me. Your son came through you. So if we were the ones used to birth them in the first place, what makes people think that we cannot rebirth them? This is where we're messing up at. We have the ability to rebirth something that was already birthed. I mean, there's a whole lot of things out there that they say, you know, this religion say, you know, you get rebirthed through him, you get rebirthed through that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we as black women, we have the ability to rebirth the nation again. How do we do that? Well, first, we got to check ourselves. We got to correct ourselves. I think that we, as black women, we have to kind of minimize the complaints that the black man has against us. Uh-oh, you talking about we got to make some changes? Hell yeah, we got to make some changes. We got to make some changes. We have been taught wrong. We have been taught wrong. We have a bad, negative image of our brothers in our minds. Now, that's the bottom line. You can lie and say you don't, but the truth of the matter is we have to. We can't get away from it. It's subliminal. It's all on TV. It's in the rap songs. It's in the music. It's, you know, they have a negative image on us, and we have a negative image on them. So what do you have to say? We have about maybe 9 minutes left. You want to touch on that?
I fully agree with what you said about the image. The image is really the image has been tainted because, you know, again, you look at BET and the people, the women who are on the videos, they don't look like queens. You know, they really have degraded themselves, and it's really shameful because a queen has elegance and she's adorned, and she's graceful. That's not graceful. Her attitude, the way that she carries herself, the way she speaks, that's not graceful. That's not the characteristics of a queen. And then you have the black man, his pants hanging off his behind. Come on now.
Hang on a minute, sis. Peter, are you there? Because she said she's on the phone and I can't hear her. So I was just trying to make sure before we, you know, close the show out because I wanted to hear from her. But she said she is on the line. I'm sorry, sis, we cannot hear you. But we're going to keep going on, okay? Go ahead, Kenya. I'm sorry.
And so you were talking about the negative images. You know, I noticed in every movie, why do we have to be portrayed living in the ghetto? Why in every movie there has to be the man, the black man has to be the drug dealer? He has to be the negative image. Well, they don't believe that we can do any better. So if they don't believe we can do any better, who's going to believe that we can do better? It's going to have to be us women. We're going to have to take that power that you talked about, and we're going to have to go to those men. We're going to have to go to this young boy, and we're going to...
Okay, I'm here, sis.
Oh, there she is.
Okay,
hey, sorry, Kenya. We want to hear from Tisha. We got like 7 minutes left, Tisha. So, you know, we were talking about a whole lot of stuff. So add Joe Tusis in real quick. I apologize, Kenya, but let's get her in.
Oh, no.
Give us some 2 cents. You know, we're talking about as us as black women, what we are doing, what we can do to correct ourselves, to help our family, our men, our children, to strengthen us and rebuild us as a nation. Are you there, Tisha? Okay. Go ahead, Kenya.
Wow.
A minute? Oh. Okay. All right, well, we wasn't able to get our sister on the line, so we're going to have to do this again because I really want to hear what she has to say as well. And I'm told we have about a minute left in the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this show as soon as I get it. I will post it for everyone to listen to it again. We apologize for anything that, you know, the little hiccups that we had during the show, but we hope that this was very informative to you. Here on Zarai Speaks. Again, we're going to address this again, and we're going to be more, we're going to get our shit together. So thank you for joining us on Zarai Speaks. Kenya, I thank you for joining me, my sister.
All right. One love, one love.
One love to you. And join us again next week here on Zarai Speaks at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock of Mountain Standard Time, Pacific Time, and 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. I know that the times are getting messed up because I'm messing it up. But if you have any questions, just go to the website, zarai speaks.com. There you can kind of figure out what the times are because I have a map there. So, again, I thank you for joining us here on zarai speaks.com. In the absence of my co-host, Brother Dawa Yisrael, who is traveling at this time, he will join us again next week. I thank you, and peace out to you, and one love.
Thank you.